Philippians chapter 4. I was been meditating for the last few weeks on what to do and trying to get scheduled ahead so I know what to be working on, what direction to be going, and this is one of them that was in that direction. And so the last couple of weeks we've been talking about standing on your faith with Job. This week coming up, unless the Lord changes it, we're going to be talking about faith for the future. We talked about faith for right now with Job, and now we're going to talk about faith for the future. How many have heard of this people called ISIS? Amen. How many have seen the beheadings on TV of our guys? And how many have seen the Ebola breakout? And we've got corruption and inactivity with the government. My wife showed me something sent me a picture of some kind of gun that was called the Congress gun because it didn't work and you couldn't fire it. and so that was the Congress gun, but we've got the Congress and we've got all kinds of just so much stuff is up in the air. No matter how we vote, judges can overturn the will of the people just like that. And we're seeing that with marriage, and we see that with other things. It's just like that. No matter what the people want, a judge can come along and say, I don't like it. And that's not right. It's not the government of we the people by the people. That's not it. They've lost that. So all this stuff coming up, we're going to talk about faith for the future Sunday morning. Then the following Sunday, we're going to have chicken. Homecoming. Am I got it right? Have I got them right? Or am I missing a week? Okay, yeah, homecoming. And those guys that were here last time are going to be here singing. It's going to be awesome. Right. Okay, y'all got me hungry now. Get ready. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Now, if you've never, I know you've heard it because I've preached, I know you've heard it preached, and it, but if that's all you ever go to is the King James Version, be careful for nothing, that actually can throw you for a loop. Be careful for nothing. Because you need to be careful in a lot of things. When you're handling dynamite, be careful. When you're doing certain things on your job, be careful. What does that mean, be careful for nothing? It means actually, do not fret, do not have anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, for your word. It's awesome. It's powerful. It helps us, Lord, to get through the day. Even in the worst of times, when everything around us is shaken, Lord, your word is not shaken. And I thank you for that. And Lord, when I don't have anything else to depend on, nothing else to light my way, your word lights my way, and I thank you. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, to minister to us and through us, Father, in a very powerful way this night. And when we leave here, Lord, let us be able to say that we know that we were touched by the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said, amen. All right, I'm going to ask for somebody to holler out a few things. In here right now, can anybody tell me what they believe the biggest joy stealer of a Christian is? Can anybody tell me? What you think? Everybody's got an opinion. This is actually my opinion, but it's a good one. Sin, that's a joy stealer. Worry. Fear. That's good too. That's good too, sister. Amen. That's right. Payne. Look, the biggest joy stealer to a Christian, you can take all those things that everybody just said, which are all correct, but you can take them and you can clump them in, put them in the box, and you can say what steals our joy, all those things steal our joy, but what steals it more than those things is worrying about what's in that box. Worrying about the pain, worrying about the fear, worrying about tomorrow, worrying about yesterday, worrying about right now. Worry. Now, worry about worry. That's right. That's right. I was worried I won't get this thing finished on worry tonight. Amen. That's right. That's right. That's right. It's like Major Payne. Anybody see the movie Major Payne? And the guy had been shot, and he said, "Help me, I hurt. And so he took his finger and bent it back. He gave him something else to worry about. Okay, so here we go. Here we go. Worry, the joy stealer. So the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about worry, the joy stealer. And each night's going to have a different topic. But tonight's going to be, because people ask me this all the time. This is one of the number one questions I get asked all the time. Is worry a sin? I get it all the time. Have y'all ever been asked that? Do y'all ever ask yourself that? Is worry a sin? I hear it several times a week. That's right. That's right. So I'm going to talk about this tonight. Now watch this. I'm just going to read this little thing here. Worry, the joy stealer. It can keep you up all night. It can siphon away all your energy. It can consume your life. Worry comes naturally. That's why it needs to be dealt with supernaturally. Woo! Worry comes naturally. So to deal with it, you must have some supernatural help. The cares and concerns that weighs you down are to be cast upon Jesus through prayer. Then His peace, not worry, will characterize your life. I got such a good compliment the other day. It just blew me away. Somebody was talking about one of my sons. And they said, and he it took him a long time to get here, but now he's standing on the Word of God. And so he's talking about D.C. And they said, he seems just not to worry about stuff, just like his dad. And I said, well, Dad worries about stuff or concerned about stuff. But I see what they were saying. You know, it made me feel good that he's imitating me, and I got to be careful what he's imitating. Amen. So watch this. Philippians 4:6 again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, that word careful means to worry. That word worry, now again, I'm going to talk about there's a difference in destructive worry and constructive concern. We all need constructive concern. If you don't have constructive concern, if somebody never worries or has no constructive concern about anything, they need to go to the doctor and get a shot, a pill, something. Somebody needs to take a 2x4, pop them between the eyes, wake them up. If nobody's ever concerned about anything, we're not talking about constructive concern, we're talking about destructive worry. That's two different words, okay? So watch this now. To worry is to divide your mind, or means to be anxious, to be distracted, or to have a divided mind. Satan wants to keep you distracted. Like you said, you can be worried about one thing and all of a sudden you think you got something else. All of a sudden it changes the way you think. That's what worry does. It divides and distracts your mind. So the worry is to divide your mind between what is useful and worthwhile and that which is damaging and destruction. It just blows away the flow of creative thinking. So what it does is, now what's useful and worthwhile would be constructive concern. What is damaging and destructive is destructive worry. So worry can keep us stuck in the ditch of doubt and therefore displeasing to God. Worry is sin. Watch this now. There is a sin to worry. Worry is sin when it keeps us stuck in. And here's the stuff. All right? Thank God that this stuff here can be handled just like that. I mean, faster than that. Amen? God can take care of it. Watch this. Worry becomes sin when it has us stuck, number one, in disbelief. Worry reveals that you don't believe God when He says He will provide all that you need. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Isaiah 58:11. Now remember, it's okay to be concerned. If I hadn't been concerned, I wouldn't have gone to the doctor and he wouldn't have cut this thing off my knee if I hadn't been concerned. If I hadn't been concerned about Maddie getting away, I wouldn't have had that bad knee. You know, there's nothing wrong with constructive concern. We need that in our lives. When something comes against us, we need to be able to accept the challenge through constructive concern. Amen? If somebody tells you that your roof's getting bad, then you're going to already, like you sit there and go, I don't know what I'm going to do, I don't know what I'm going to do, I don't know what I'm going to do. Or you can go, well, the roof's getting bad, so I better start putting something away for the roof, and I better go ahead and get some people lined up. You know, so you got a choice. You can worry to death about it, or you can do something about it. So, and there's things you cannot do, but in the middle of things you cannot do, remember there's things you can do. Do what you can do and let God take care of what you can't do. So here we go. And we're going to end up with the verse after this, verse 8. This is going to help you too. You ready? Worry is sin when it keeps us stuck in disobedience. Worry reveals you're taking on personal responsibility and concern for the things that God's already promised to provide. He says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air that do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who are you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? How the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grasses of the field, which are here today and tomorrow thrown into fire, he will not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen? Inevitably, when I find myself in a constructive concern mode, and here's the teeter-totter. I'm in constructive concern, and I find myself starting to teeter-totter over into the worry. I mean, it's almost all the time when this happens, I'll be outside and I'll see a sparrow on the ground. Every time. So I see that sparrow, God's telling me, if I see that sparrow, you know, God has gone to every sparrow's funeral since the beginning of the time. If he's gone to every sparrow's funeral, he says it can't fall to the ground without him knowing it. If he's gone to every sparrow's funeral, how much more is he concerned about us? And so we may not see the answer right now, and as many times I haven't seen the answer, but you still move forward. You move forward believing that God's got the answer. It's like this. If God tells you to jump through that wall, back on up and start running. If he told you, he's going to open a hole in that wall and you won't get hurt. If he didn't tell you, you get ready for a headache. Okay, I remember one time, I think I told you, I was doing a leadership class and I had built this great old big long board. I had a real bowling ball without any holes in it, without any finger holes. And I had this big old board without any side rails. And I kept trying to see who could knock down the bowling pins. It was about 12, 14 foot. Who can knock over the bowling pins by rolling the bowling ball down that board without any rails? Nobody got it. So then I put up some rails, and I was talking about why we need boundaries in our lives, how boundaries actually bring power instead of take away from us. But I had a guy said, now when I do this, it's going to go down there. I told him beforehand, so I need you to run up and catch the ball. And when it went down, it hit the bowling pin so hard it scared him. He went to go get it and ran the other way. And it wound up hitting the wall in the church. And I saw stuff falling out of the ceiling. I went from constructive concern to, all right. Okay. So remember, it's okay to be concerned. If you're not concerned, something's wrong with you. We need to be concerned, but not worried. And we're trying to talk about difference in worry. Concern, I'll tell you the end. I'll show you the difference. Now, worry is sin when it keeps us stuck. I don't mean it flashes by. You can't stop a bird from landing on your head, but you can keep him from building a nest. All right? So the bird can come by and drop eggs of disbelief and disobedience, but you can throw them away so you don't have to build that nest. All right? When it keeps you stuck in destruction, worry destroys your physical body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It can bring about a host of physical ailments such as high blood pressure, heart trouble, headaches, colds, stomach disorders. Do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, who's, or Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Honor God with your body. God taught me a lesson one day. Daniel was a little bitty thing. I bet he was about 3 or 4 years old. And him and DC had been really cutting up. They were in the bathtub. They'd been cutting up. They had water everywhere. It was pitiful. And I went in there, and I pulled Daniel up, and I got ready to pop him on the tail. I watched him, this little bitty fella. Here's this big old giant picking you up, yanking you up out of the bathtub. And I saw him shaking, and I saw him breathing hard. And God spoke to me and said, "Don't feel good, does it?" So I put him right back there and said, "I'm sorry, Lord." And I always try not to do that anyway, but that night he had pushed me to my limit. But the Lord spoke to me. And I think about people going through things, we take it lightly. We just want to brush it away or knock it out of the way. Sometimes you just need to stop, because sometimes people are going through things that if you had to go through them, it's like this. When you're going through it, it's major surgery. When I'm going through it, it's minor surgery. Or vice versa. No. Remember, people are going through some things and it can hurt them. Always take it very carefully. Whatever you say and do, be very careful how you handle it. Because I can tell you something else. You may try to tell them how to handle it today, and a week from now, you're going to have to show them how you're doing through it, how you're going to go through it. And I guarantee you, when it gets on you, it'll be a little bit different. All right. Then, see, y'all worried I was going to keep you here all night, weren't you? All right. Worry becomes sin when it keeps us stuck in dishonor. Worry shifts the focus of attention from the all-sufficient power of Christ to the human insufficiency and insecurity. Ultimately, worry can undermine your Christian witness to others by presenting God as impotent and unworthy of praise. It says that your light shine before men so that they see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now I'm going to read this bottom part here, and then we're going to go to verse number 8. The bottom part here says there's a difference in destructive worry and constructive concern. I should have put those two words up at the top of the page too. Constructive concern and destructive worry. Destructive worry paralyzes us. Constructive concern motivates us. You know, say about your child in the water, somebody that's got destructive worry may say, "I'm so worried that my child might drown that I'm never going to let them anywhere near the water." That's destructive worry. Constructive concern is, "I'm so concerned that my child can't swim that I've made arrangements to give them swimming lessons." Okay? Whole different ball game. So, destructive worry decreases creativity because you're hiding. You're just kind of, "Oh, I don't know what we're going to do." Constructive concern increases creativity. You know, I had a guy that actually, I didn't realize he'd gone to court that day, but the guy this week, he'd been asking me now for several months, could I get him a coloring book? Now, we pass out Bibles, and I'll pass this out. You know, one of our Bible studies. I'll pass a Bible study out. That's all I can pass out. It's a Bible study and Bibles. But I'm back there in the bad part where the guys are either in lockdown, or they're over in F block, and this guy told me a story, and of course he told me he came down to see his brother. His brother killed a man, and while he came to see his brother killed a man. He wound up getting charged with it too. And I know they're all innocent, but this guy really believed his story. But he said, "Can you get me a coloring book?" And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I actually want to send cards to my kids." He said, "If you get me a coloring book, I can cut out the pictures, and I can send them as cards." And I said, "I'll try." And of course, right to start with, with the destructive worry, I said, "They're not going to have a care cutter book back there." Now they're going with crayons next. What's going to go on? Blah, 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 blah. And finally, he hit me and said, "Just get the man what he wants. There's 750 inmates. We can't get 750 coloring books. Most of the Bibles they get come from this church. Did you know that? Most of the Bibles those inmates get are from right here, called Free on the Inside, us and the Gideons. It comes from right here. Y'all, did y'all know that y'all are getting Bibles to those people? Isn't that awesome?" So, I called Sister Boone. I said, Sister Boone, she says, what? I said, I got a crazy request. She says, from you, I don't doubt. And I said, I got an inmate wants coloring books. She says, get out of here. I said, no. And she said, I maybe we can find some crayons too. I said, no, he wants a coloring book because he wants to send cards to his kids. He's going to make them out of coloring book. And she said, oh, man. She said, okay. And then I hung up, and I'm looking for coloring books. I'm looking for coloring books. She calls me back. And she says, you know, all the other inmates are going to want a coloring book. And I said, well, Sister Boone, what do I need to do? Now we're both we were in destructive worry. And God put us in constructive concern. She said, I tell you what, you get your coloring book, log it in the library. On your way out, pick it up. And tell the man he asked for it, somebody donated one, he can have it. And so when I got in there, I took Pitt Detention Center and logged it in. Boom, boom, boom. Had two of them. I took them and logged them in. I got to his door, and he told me, as I was giving his comic book, he said, they told me today I'm facing life or the death penalty. And he said, I didn't do it. My brother did. And I felt so good to be able to hand him those coloring books that day. Matter of fact, he was really upset. He was crying. And when I handed him coloring books, he smiled. He said, thank you so much. And I showed him. I said, these actually were donated to the library. And they're brought just to you because you're the only one that's ever asked for it. He said, okay. Destructive worry prevents initiative. People are scared to move forward when they're worrying. They don't know which way to go. But when you're doing constructive concern, it promotes initiative. Destructive worry results in anxious fretting. What if? What if? What if? You say, am I anxious? How do you know somebody's got anxious fretting? Because here's their words. What if? What if? What if? What if? What if? What if? Result, but constructive concern results in calm focusing. I'm not going to wonder what if. I'm going to find out what can be, and I'm going to push toward it. Destructive worry fears the worst. Constructive concern hopes for the best. Destructive worry appears negative to others. They're watching you. Constructive concern appears positive to others. It was kind of funny last Thursday night. They brought in some people to train, and the people thought I was supposed to train them. And I said, I thought they meant take them into prison and train them. They had to go take the test. They had to go take the actual class. They hadn't even been there. They had to take the class. So I walked in, and the guy said, he said, you should be training me. And so I walked right up to him, and I said, well, let me ask you a question. Are you an inmate or a minister? And he went, I'm a minister. And it was so funny because when we come back out, as they were coming out, I was locked behind bars, me and Patrick. And he said, look who's the prisoner now. Destructive worry distracts the mind from what's important. Constructive concern directs the mind to what is important. So here, how can I do this? How can I switch gears? How many want to switch gears? How many's got an area in your life you need to switch gears in? I mean, you need to go hang on from one to the other. Be honest, you ain't got to raise your hand and say there's areas in your life that you got destructive worry, but I'm pretty sure all of us, because we're human, there's areas in our life we got destructive worry. There's some things we know is going to be all right, we're not a problem with it, everything's fine. There are certain things we don't know. And so, Satan wants us in destructive worry. How do we get in constructive concern? Read verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's your filter. That's the magnifying glass you need to look through when you're looking at all your problems. Matter of fact, watch this. Acknowledge that you have a worry. I acknowledge there's things I worry about. I'm not Superman. Amen. I don't have x-ray eyes. I can't look through and see. There's things I worry about, and when I find myself worrying, I have to pull out the shades or pull out the magnifying glass of Philippians 4 and 8, and I got to look through that shade or look through those glasses. Once I look through those glasses, it helps me to go from destructive worry to constructive concern. Because watch this. Again, think about this thing now. You're worried about something. Think about what right now, with nobody looking around at you, nobody even thinking about anybody else, just in your mind, I want you to think about the thing that's really got you to worry. I mean, not constructive concern, it's got you in destructive worry. It's paralyzed you, it's decreased your creativity, it's prevented your initiative, you got anxious fretting, you fear the worst, it appears negative to others when they talk about it and you're around them, distracts the mind from what's important. Think about that. And when you think about that thing, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get to every point that we just read in verse 8. And I want you to think about that. I'm just going to say, worry condition one. Whatever that condition is, whatever it is. When you're worried about it, when it's on your mind, when it's dividing your mind, I want you to think about this. Are my thoughts about this true? That's what, think of things are true. Is what I'm thinking about this thing honest? Is what I'm thinking about this thing pure? Is it lovely? Is what I'm thinking about this admirable, excellent? Is it praiseworthy? Then, with that lens in front of you, now you've got a whole different, you're not just looking at it in the way that Satan's throwing it at you. Now you've put up a barrier, you've put up a net. And that net's in front of you. So Satan's shooting it this way, trying to take you out. But Philippians 4 and 8 is right there in front of you. And you're looking, you go, wait a minute. I got to think about this thing in the right way. I got to get my mind right. I need constructive concern. I don't need to just turn my back on it. I do need to do something about it. I don't need to act like it isn't there. I don't need to deny it. But I need to look at it in the proper way. Is what I'm looking at, is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? The way I'm thinking about it. If it's not, then ask God to help you change your way of thinking. Because he says, when you do this, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Keep your hearts and minds means he got your attitude and he's got the way you think. If he's got my attitude and the way I think, then I'm going to think the right thing. Amen? It's when I slip off of the stool where I'm sitting up and he's got me going, I pop off and just try to walk on my own. I find out all this crazy mess starts happening. But I get back up on the stool. He's guarding my mind and my heart. He's getting my emotions. He's got my emotions under control. He's got my thinking under control. He's got my attitude under control. Now, and that word keep means to guard. It's like the military, just guard. Right in front of your heart, your emotions, your attitude. So now my heart, my emotions, my attitude, I'm not going to get carried away. I'm not going to wind up going crazy over this thing because I got God guarding. Wow. It's awesome. So now we're going to keep talking about worry over the next couple of weeks. But tonight, think about this. I can worry and stay up all night long, or I can constructively think about it, give it to God, give it to him, let him worry about it tonight because he's going to be up all night anyway. What's that? That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. God's, y'all say this, God's got this. God's got this. You know, it was last week talking about the kids going in the harvest festival, and the preacher pointing that sign over to apples said, take one apple only, God is watching. And at the other end was a big bag of candy, and it had a sign from a kid saying, take all you want, God's guarding the apples. Well, you tell Satan, God's guarding me. He's guarding me. It doesn't mean that I'm not concerned. It doesn't mean I don't care. It just means that I know God's got this. Amen? Amen. Well, that's, we can come up here and pray, or you can stay at your seat and pray. We're going to pray, and we're going to trust God to do what He said He would do, and He does it better than anybody I know. You know, I tried being God for a little while. It didn't work. Some of y'all have tried being God too. It don't work, does it? I'm not good at it at all. I remember that movie when Jim Carrey, when God let him be God for a week, and he couldn't hear all the prayers that were going on. They told him all those prayers, all the stuff he was doing was just from one block. He thought from the whole world, just one block. He couldn't handle it. Can you imagine the whole world? And God says, I got this. It's in my hand. Matter of fact, all these galaxies, all these universes, all these billions and billions of stars, He says, fit from here to here in His hand. If all of this creation fits from the span of His hand from here to here, He's got this. He's got it. Father, I love You, Lord. I praise Your name. I thank You for Your grace, Your mercy. I thank You for this night. I thank You, God, that You got everything under control, Lord. Father, I know, Lord, we're prone to worry. But Lord, help us this night, Lord, when the worry bug comes. Lord, when we begin to let it get out of control, help us, Lord, to think about that sparrow and how You've been to every sparrow's funeral. Lord, I thank You, Father, right now, Lord. You've got us under Your care, under Your guidance. Father, You said You would keep our hearts, You would keep our minds. That means You've got us mentally, our attitudes, our emotions. You've got our thinking. I ask You right now, Father, to touch us, Lord. Help us to realize that and to hold up that magnifying glass of Philippians 4 and 8. And if that's what I'm thinking when I'm looking at this, or am I letting Satan play a wild trick on me? Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank You. There was a young man, I tell this all the time, so I probably told all of you this before. There was a young man, went in the backyard, he come running in screaming. His mama said, what's wrong? He said, there's a lion in the backyard. She come walking out and looked, and it was an old mangy dog. An old bushy head. She said, that's an old bushy headed dog. You get on upstairs, and you stay upstairs and talk to God. Don't you come down till He talks to you. You hear me? And she patted his bottom, he goes on up. And by an hour later, he comes down. She said, did God talk to you? He said, yes, ma'am. She said, what did He say? He said, the first time he saw it, he thought it was a lion, too. Hey, y'all say this together. God's got this. Take a deep breath. In through your nose and out through your mouth. God's got this. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure if you'd stop for a minute and realize how you're sitting, before you did that, you were probably hunched over a little bit. And when I said, God's got this, all of a sudden your posture got a little higher. God's got this. Amen. God's got it. Come back Sunday morning, we're going to talk about the future. Back to the future. Amen, brother. Benny, we just miss us in prayer, please.